Hidra mitzvah is something that we think about in many contexts in halacha, but it does definitely stick out. It presents itself much more centrally in the mitzvah in the yontif of Chanukah, among other places, among other aspects. The point of departure for a lot of our learning of Hilchas Chanukah is definitely the brisa that really is very much wrapped up in the concept of hidden mitzvah. So let's take a look. A very well-known, a well-trodden brisa, but there are three machloks that we want to take a look at. Here in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Tana Rabbana Mitzvah Chanukah Ne'er Shebeiso. The core mitzvah Chanukah is per home. It's unique in that way. A little bit similar to mezuzah, certainly somewhat similar to Ner Shabbos, in that it's really a mitzvah chiyuv on the household rather than an individual person. But mahadrin erchal echav yachad, one beyond the basic mitzvah, the first level of hiddur is rather than one ner per household, one ner per person. Mahadrin mina mahadrin, and the second level of hiddur, it sounds like, is to light per night. And this is where we have the famous machlokes. B'sham v'silol, how do you light per night? B'sham may say, Yom Rishon Madlik, Shmon Mekan Ve'ach Pochus V'holech. You start with 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And B'silol say the reverse. Yom Rishon Madlik, Achas Mekan Ve'elach Mostus V'holech. There are three machlokes to focus on in this brisa of Hidurim. So the most obvious one is Beisham and Beis Hillel. What does that second level of Hidr look like when you're lying per night? Is it most of a holich or a pochus of a holich? And just a word about that. The Gemara goes on to work on why would you say going up or why would you say going down. The first reason the Gemara gives is simply connected yanan ha nichnasim and connected yanan ha yotzin. Beisham are looking how many days are coming in, and Beis Hillel talk about how many days are going out. So it's actually fascinating. Well, what does that mean? Days going in, days coming out. Rav Zevin has a beautiful article in the Orah HaHalacha where he wants to know what is the Machlokas B'Shem HaMazel. Not this one. The Machlokas B'Shem HaMazel. So what do you mean? There are 1,000 of them. He says, no. There's one fundamental Machlokas that he thinks runs through many different issues from Zeruim to Taros, and that is, do you focus on potential, do you focus more on the actual? And from beginning to end, all the way to the very end of Uksan, that's what they're talking about. And going back to the very beginning, that's what they're talking about. An example he actually does not give, but I think captures it nicely, is as a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, when is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos? Is it Tu B'Shvat? That's the Shita of Beis Hillel that we're familiar with. Or is it Rosh Chodesh Shvat? So it's worth noticing that the middle of the month, Tu B'Shvat, that's when the moon is brightest. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, there's no moon, but that's when the potential for greater growth is at its maximum. One of the points he does, one of the examples he does give is this machlokas. What do you mean you're counting Kenega the Yamim HaNechnasim? The days are yet to come. Why would you do that? So he says, no, this is a classic B'Shvat B'Shvat. The Beis Hillel looking at how much of Chanukah have you already experienced. The first night I say, I've so far experienced one night. I've experienced two nights, experienced three nights. And Beis Sham I say, let's focus on how much of Chanukah is still to come. The first night, the potential is at its maximum. By the last night, the potential in terms of Chanukah to come is at its minimum, but in terms of how much Chanukah I've already experienced, that's at its maximum, which is why for Beis Sham I, it's day one, that's 8 Neris, and for Beis Hillel, it's day 8, that's 8 Neris. So that's the first Machlokas. The most obvious Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what does the Mahadrin Minah Mahadrin look like? And then, there is a second Machlokas, Tosus and the Rambam, also about the Mahadrin Minah Mahadrin. Take a look at the Tosus here. Dear Masal Veha Mahadrin, Tosfos says, Nirulari, the Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the great grandson of Rashi, said, Beisham Beis Hillel, what does it look like when you do Mahadrin Minah Mahadrin? I'm going to light one the first night and two the second night and eight the eighth night, according to Beis Hillel. So, how many Neiris do I have all together at home? So, Tosfos says, Nir Lari, Beisham Beis Hillel, Okami, Ella Al Neri Shu Beis Hillel. Beisham Beis Hillel, Mahadrin and Mahadrin, goes back, builds off of the first level. In other words, Tosis holds that it's either or. There are two different options for Hidur. One option for Hidur is rather than one per household, up, bump it up to the number of people in the home, or bump it up to the number of the night. But you can't do both. If you have 10 people at home, it's the sixth night, the Ri says, you do six. You drop, you don't do 60, you do six. Tosa says, you drop Ner L'chal Echad Echad in favor of Ner Ishu Beso. And he explains it's going to be either or because, well, you're going to walk by and you see 12 Neris outside. So what does that mean? Does that mean there are 12 people at home, it's the first night? Does that mean 6 people home, it's the second night? 4 people home, it's the third night? Then it's the fourth night, sixth night? You don't know. It's not going to be Nikar, Tosa says. So that's what Tosa thinks that, here, help yourself. Tosa thinks that it's Ner Ishu, that Mahadrin and Mahadrin takes the place of Mahadrin. It's either or. You have to choose one Hidur or the other. While the Rambam says what we're familiar with, here at the bottom of the page, Rambam in...
I have a hard time reading into Tosfos.
Yeah.
So, lo kaimi ela aner ishu beso. Was it lo kaimi ela aner ishu beso that it's on top?
When Beisham Beisil say, add on kenega hayamim, that's working off of lo kaimi el, what they're so to speak standing on, what they're working off of is instead of ner ishu beso, take your ner ishu beso and multiply that by one thing.
Multiply to replace it. Multiply.
Multiply ner ishu beso. Not Ner Chal Echad Yechad.
No. Oh, okay.
Right?
I got it.
The Shekein Yesh, the Behidr when it's Niker. Im Osa Ner Chal Echad Yechad, and then you're going to be start being Mosif based off of Ner Chal Echad, Lekah HaKeiru. You see six Neres, what does that mean? See, that's what Tosa says, you got to choose. Either Mahadrin or Mahadrin and Amad. Okay. The Rambam, and to us Ashkenazim, that feels very unfamiliar, right? You drop Nerech Le'echav Yechad. That's because we follow, Ashkenazim ironically follow the Rambam. Rambam writes Halacha here, Perek Dalet. Perek Gimel is dedicated to Hallel. Perek Dalet is dedicated to Chanukah. The first two Prakim are Megillah, or Purim. The two Prakim that are Chanukah, Prakim Gimel and Dalet, one is Hallel and one is Ner Chanukah. Perek Dalet is Ner Chanukah. Kamo Ner is Umadlik B'Chanukah, Rambam writes, Mitzvasa Kol Bayis U'Bayis Madlik Nerech. Right, that's the basic mitzvah, Ner Yishu Beiso. Mahadir Asa Mitzvah, Madlik Ner is Kiminyan Shabbais. Ner Lechal Echad. Mahadir Yasser Alza, Madlik Ner Lechal Echad V'Echad, on the first night, and most of the whole of B'chol Laila V'Laila. And he goes on, Rama clearly says you do both, and he, in case you missed it, he actually gives you numbers in Halacha Beis. Ketzad, Hayod Anshi Asa Abayis Asara. Let's say you have 10 people at home. The first night you light 10. Second night you light 20, 30, until Ad Shenimtza Madlik B'Leil Shmini, Shmonim Neros. So there we have it. Our first machlokas is Mahadrin and Mahadrin. How do you do per night? Is you step up or step down? Machlokas B'Shem B'Sil. Second machlokas about Mahadrin and Mahadrin is Rambam Tosfos. Do you get to multiply the Mahadrin and Mahadrin by the Mahadrin? Are you combining both? Is it a double hider? That's the position of the Rambam. Or Tosa says, we would love to do a double here, there, but it's going to get confusing. You're going to lose the track of the numbers. It won't be Nikar what the number is. So you got to choose one or the other. Okay. Now, in terms of the second machlokas, it's interesting that the Nosa Kalim point out, this is one of the only times, maybe the only time, when you have a full flip. Now, usually the Shulchan Aruch, Sfaradim follow the Rambam, when there's a Machlokas Rambam and Tosas, Rambam was the Sfaradi, Tosas were Ashkenazim. Usually Sfaradim follow the Rambam, Ashkenazim follow Tosas. Sometimes both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim follow one or the other. This is one of the only times, maybe the only time, when it's a full swap. Ashkenazim follow the Rambam. Ashkenazim will do Ner Lecha Echav Yechad plus times 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, while Sfaradim, if you go to a Sephardi home, there'll only be one menorah. That menorah will go from 1 to 8 over the course of the days of the nights of Hanukkah, but there's only one person doing hadlaka. That's because the Rambam himself points out, Halacha Gimel, that the common practice in Sfarad was what we would refer to the sheet of Tosus. And meanwhile, Ashkenazim, so the Sephardim have adopted the sheet of Tosus, and Ashkenazim have adopted the sheet of the Rambam. And that's what you see here in the Shulchan Aruch. Tav Resh Ayin Aleph, near the beginning, it's the second Siman Hilchas Chanukah. Kamen Eres Madlik, Sif Beis, Lalishon Echad, and the Kamen Eres Mosef Aholev. Afilu Rabin Bnei Abayis Bo Yadlik Yosef. The Mechaber says, as Tosus does, that's the position of the Sephardim. You only do Beis Hillel, but we drop Neruch HaEchad V'Echad. We favor Mahadrin Bnei Mahadrin rather than Mahadrin. Well, the Rambam says no. Yesharim Kol Echad Bnei Abayis Yadlik, according to the Rambam, V'chein HaMinik Pashat. Okay, so that's interesting. But on the Farshim point down, the Briskerov gets very excited about this. There is a third machlokas going on here, which we already saw, but subtle. And it's, although we already saw it, unlike the first two machloksin, which are about the nature of Mahadrin and Mahadrin, Beshan Besil, how the numbers work, and the Rambam Tosus, is it in place of Mahadrin or in addition to Mahadrin? There's a third machlokas.
Is that who
lights? Yeah, who lights, exactly. It's a grammatical nuance. The Ramah is ostensibly quoting the Rambam, and he is in terms of issue number two. But there's an issue number three at which the Ramah and the Rambam diverge. And that's what Yossi just pointed out. The Ramah said, "Kol echad b'bnei habayis yadlik." Each one, each member of the household lights. What did the Rambam say? It was always Lashon Yachid. He said, "Hamahadir is hamitzvah." Let's look at halacha base. Hayu anshe habayis asar. You have 10 people at home. B'layla rishon madlik asar aneros. He lights 10 candles. He lights 20. Finally, last night, he lights 80. Only he lights 80. Why not say each person lights 8? No, he lights. If you go back to Halacha Aleph, when he initially formulated these levels, he had said, HaMahadir HaMitzvah, Madlik Neiros Kiminyan Anshei HaBayis. He lights. But rather than he lighting one, he lights the according to, you know, corresponding to the number of people in the house. HaMadlik Madiyosa Zeh, Madlik, etc. Most of the whole. So that's a third machlokas here. We saw it initially expressed in the context of Mahadrin and Mahadrin, but it's really a machlokas about Mahadrin. What does Neruch HaEchav Yechad mean? The Braisa had said, the first level Hider is each person, a Ner for each person. How do you interpret that? The Ramah says, yeah, it means each person lights. Rather than one person lighting one light for the household, each person lights his one, or maybe, perhaps, according to Rambam, you know, each person lights between 1 and 8. But the Rambam didn't say that. The Rambam said, Neruch HaEchad V'Echad doesn't mean each person lights. Neruch HaEchad V'Echad means one person is doing all the lighting, regardless. It's just a question of what your number is. But it's only one person doing the lighting. So that's our machlokas number three. What does Neruch HaEchad V'Echad mean? And that's the machlokas Rambam and Ramah. Now, whenever you have, and again, as we pointed out, it really boils down to a machlokas Rambam Ramah. How do you read that line in the Braisa? The Braisa said Neruch HaEchad V'Echad. How do you interpret that? Now, let me ask you a question. Because whenever you see a machlokas, two approaches, Rishonim, here it's machlokas Rishon and Achron, how to read a line in the Gemara. So one of the questions you want to ask yourself is, a pair of questions is, what's the more obvious way to read it? And as which sheet does the Muskel Rishon? And then why did the other sheet not choose the easier approach? So which is the easier approach? What's the more natural way to read Neruch HaEchad V'Echad?
One person lights, I think.
Yeah, why?
It's one candle per person. It doesn't say
Okay, good. So you're saying the language, so Yossi is arguing the language of the Bryce reads like the Rambam. Yeah, there is no verb. Mitzvah Chanukah, what was the language again we have in front of us? Mitzvah Chanukah, the Mitzvah Chanukah is Ner Ishu Beso. Mahadrin, Ner Chal Echad V'Echad. So how do you read that? So you point that, well, the Braisa is a little bit vague. The Braisa didn't use a verb. It said, ner for the home, or ner for each person. The Rambam is using a verb, the Ramah is using a verb, and they're each giving away what their sheet is. The Braisa is very ambiguous. Yeah, what would you say? Any other thoughts? How would you have, what would you have thought as a natural?
When I saw, I thought Mer Yishbeit there, I thought that it made sense that one person writes because it's almost like a Lashon Yachid.
Right? Okay, so you're adopting the same approach as Yossi.
Unless you say Ner L'chol Echad Be'echad, means each one gets a candle.
Right, a Ner for each one, for each person. So what does that mean, Ner for each person? Each person gets a Ner that he lights? Or it means we're lighting Ner for each person, yeah?
Every one person in each house lights. Like for Svardim, when they have kids who move out of their house.
Right, so Svardim, that's what we were saying before. Svardim follow Tosos, and Svardim practically don't implement Ner L'chol Echad, because Svardim understand, as Tosos did, that you can't do both Hidurim. You can't do Mahadrim and Mahadrim and Mahadrim. You choose one or the other, and the higher level is Mahadrim and Mahadrim, because that speaks to the dynamism of Chanukah. You're seeing the progression of the nights. But Tosin said, you can't have both. So that's why Sfardim, ironically following Tosis, say, we don't do Mahadrim. That's why they don't have Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad. But if you do have Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad, what does it look like? So that's where you have this third machlokas Ramah. What is Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad? So you're arguing, look, the language sounds a little bit like one person's light, like the Rambam. Now, there are two ways to attack this. One is to look at the Lashon. The other one is to think Misvara. Right? Misvara, what's the logic of Mahadran min Mahadran? Why is it a hedra to light 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? So the Rishonim say it's making the nace more nika. You want a hekera. Rashi talks about it. Tosu talks about
it. It's more mistaver. The Mahadran Mahadran is a better persimonisa because it's symbolic of the 8 days of the lighting. The harder question is, why is lighting the Chalecha Mechad a hitter altogether?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? So I understand why the number one, the changing number from 1 to 8 or from 8 to 1 can add something to the persimonisa. What does Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad add? Oh, So good. So what's being added? There are four people in the house. So Mi'ikradin, if we're a household, we just have to have one ner. But there's a hider instead of having four ners. So why is that a hider? Stam more? So Lefi the Ramah, I understand it well. Because Lefi the Ramah, what's the hider? The hider is more or less sort of like a mitzvah yosim v'shlucho. Not exactly, but that concept.
Everyone gets involved.
Right. I should be personally involved. I shouldn't just be one. He's lighting, I'm doing nothing. No. You should be involved yourself. So then I understand. If Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad means each person lights, okay, so then you should have your own Ma'aseh Mitzvah. Don't just be Yotzei vicariously through his Ma'aseh Hadlak. I'm being Yotzei, but I didn't do anything. No, you should be active. You should be actively involved. So if the Ramah B'Svara, I understand the Hidur. The problem with the Rambam is what is this? Instead of one, it's four? But it's still one per... The other three people still aren't doing their own Ma'aseh Hadlaka. So what's gained by the fact that there's a candle out there for each person instead of just a candle for the household? So that's what the Brisker Rav doesn't phrase it that way, but I think part of what he's driving at is you got to understand that Bisvara, you have a Gemara that says Ne'achal Ech V'Echal. It has to mean something. It has to be that there's a Hidur here. So there are two ways of reading. Either you interpret it, translate the words to mean each person lights his own instead of relying on one member of the household doing the hadlaka, or it means it's still only one member of the household doing the hadlaka, but it's just a question of the quantity of neiros that one person is lighting.
Is it clear that halachas neiros is just because of the nace of the menorah?
As opposed to?
Nace of the melchama. Because if there's a connection to the nace of the melchama, you say you're showing each person was saved.
Right, that's all
I'm going to
say.
Oh, that's
all
interesting.
Five same, or victory. There's not just one from Jew in the household, there are five from Jews in the household.
So in the same way survivors of the Holocaust have a nusach, like another child, a grandchild is born, it's another victory over Hitler. So that we live so far away from the historical nace of Hanukkah that we no longer it's lumdus, but it's not, we don't feel like that sense of, that visceral sense that we were nitzal, if not physically, at least spiritually.
It's like almost like Pesach. There is this aspect of the Yetzim Mitzrayim. Like, it's, we're trying to show, we all survived. We all, it impacts all of us. It only works if you say the halakha is...
Yidu lahotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzim Mitzrayim, Anu Vaneinu, etc. Right? If not for the Nes of Chanukah, we would all be lost to our Masorah. We would have lost our connection to Yadus. They say, ah, you're celebrating the fact, look, this household, this home has three people, contains three people who are still connected to Rabbi Shlomo's Torah. This home has two people. This home has seven people, whatever it is. Interesting.
The Mahad and Shita, I just realized, it's like Shabbos candles. One person lights it, and they light
it. Yeah, that's an interesting point. So the truth is, Shabbos candles is a little bit tzarech bir, what that's all about. That you're lighting, so there are different explanations given. Some suggest because once upon a time, before modern prenatal care and postnatal care, the women typically would end up missing one Erev Shabbos of Hadlaka after they had a baby. So that's why the minhag developed that every time you have a baby, you add another nair, because it's so common that she would end up, there was such a terrible physically, medically, such a terrible state, you typically miss the first hadlaka, especially depending on what day of the week they gave birth. So the practice said, Shulchan Aruch, the practice is you miss an unusual knas. You miss, so you have to lie an extra nair for the rest of one's life, which itself is a surprising knas. Some suggest that's the idea of every time you have a baby. And others look at it in a more positive light. So it is that that itself requires husband. So the Briskerov sees in this the following. So he says, look, I would have thought and he quotes his grandfather Beis Halevi was very, very bothered. Says Ramaz is such an, he thinks, an easier pshat against you making a lot of, I think, very sharp suggestions. The number one, that the Migemara and Misvara, that Migemara, the language of the Brisa is almost intentionally, seems very strikingly ambiguous. So, I'm not convinced that it sounds more like the Rambam, but at least the language doesn't sound like the Ramah. The Tanam, we're sort of leaving out the verb, which is interesting. And then Misvar, you're suggesting, if it corresponds to Nesal Muhammad, to the Yeshua, to the extent that Ner Chanukah corresponds to the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, so there's more of a hidur just in highlighting the number of people in the home. Yeah. The pushback against that, so that's an interesting hasbro, if you think that Ner Chanukah corresponds to Nesa Mechama. The Pashas is that Halal, we said before, the Rambam sees the two main mitzvahs are Halal and Ner Chanukah. Pashas is, if anything, the Halal corresponds to the Nesa Mechama, and the Neiris correspond, at least primarily, to Nesa Shemin. I mean, that's why last night's year, right, Nubu focused on the Beis Yosef's Kasha. So there are those who say maybe the first night corresponds to the Neis HaMelchama, but primarily that has to do with the Neis HaShem. So the Briskerov has another suggestion. Briskerov's suggestion is maybe there's something about Hidur Mitzvah. The Rambam has a global take on Hidur Mitzvah that prevented him from embracing what would seem, at least for the Briskerov, to be the simpler approach to Ramah. And for that, he points to a fascinating machlokas that's already discussed not only by his grandfather, Beis Halevi, but by the Shagas Aryeh. Beis Halevi is in Chelek Beisim and Zion, if you want to take a look later. Shagas Aryeh is Siman Nun. And it goes like this. Here we jump forward from the Chanukah sequence from the second parak of Shabbos. Shabbos is primarily about Shabbos, but has many side topics as well. The one side topic is Chanukah in the second parak. The 19th parak of Shabbos, Rabbi Elazar, the Mila, is about Mila. Now, it's about Mila being Docha Shabbos, but it also is about the general, is the primary address of Hilchas Mila, Bichlal, in Bavli, is in the 19th parak of Shabbos. So here you have a Mishnah, at the top of the second side of the page, the Mishnah, the bottom of Kuf Lam, Gimel, and Aleph, and the Gemara is on Kuf Lam, Gimel, and Beis. So the Mishnah says, also called Tzarchi Mila B'Shabbos. If you have a Mila B'Zmana, if the Shmini is on Shabbos, then the Mila is Docha Shabbos. And the Mishnah says, it's fully Docha. You do all the steps of the Mila. The first Mishnah Perek says that we paskin, Machlok Satanam, we paskin, you may not do a Hechsher Mila on Shabbos. Let's see, if you still have to make the knife or carry the knife or something like that, that's not Docha Shabbos. Machlok Satanam, we paskin not Docha Shabbos. But the Mila itself, here the Mishnah Kuf Lamed Gimel says, the steps of the Mila itself are all Docha Shabbos. As well as the pre-Mila steps are not, but the post-Mila itself and the post-Mila steps. Mohalin, Oporin, Motzitzin, you do the three steps of the Mila and the Priya, removing the thick foreskin as well as the membrane underneath, as well as the Mitzitza, and the bandaging that follows. It's Pilaris and Kimon, once you've done the Mila, then you have to do the post-op. Okay, then the Gemara wants to know, well, why do you have to say Osin Kol Tzarech HaMila B'Shabbos? So Gemara said here, Kuf Lamed Gimel, Mechti Kasani Kulu. You just listed all the steps. So why do you have to, in addition, if you enumerate everything, why do you have to have that general Kol Tzarech HaMila L'Asuimai? What was that adding? There must be some additional step that we didn't explicitly enumerate, and the Gemara goes on to say, yes. What is that additional step? Gemara quotes a Braisa, Hamol, when a Mohel is doing a Mila, so ideally he removes, without getting too involved in the details, ideally he removes the entire Arla. But the Mila will be kosher even if he removed most of the Arla, but not the entire Arla. Without getting involved in exactly how we measure Rove, sometimes there'll be little tags of skin that are so small that they're not, the Mila is kosher even if they remain attached. But it would be his mitzvah to have removed everything. So the question is, if the Mohel initially did the Mila, the initial act of Mila in optimal fashion, the entire Arla is removed, so that's obviously Mehuda. Let's say he notices, he did the Mila, and he notices there's a little bit left. The Hamal, Kozman Sha'osig Mila, as long as he's still there, still busy with the Mila, he hasn't yet stepped away. So then Choser Be'altit Sam'akvin Be'altit She'im Akvin. He can even go back and remove some more, even if it's a tzitz she'en ma'akev, small enough that the mila is kosher, even if it remains attached. But Pirish, once he steps away, then a half hour later, he comes back to check the baby, or comes back the next day. So then at that point, he's only gonna restart if it's ma'akev es amila, if the mila isn't yet kosher. But tzitz she'en ma'akev, the mila is already kosher, you can't restart later on. Okay. That's what the Gemara says. Rashi says, the Shabbos. That's what we're talking about. Right? We were saying Pshat in the Mishnah, that the Mila B'Shabbos, Mila B'Zman is Docha Shabbos, but only if you're actually doing a Mila. You're not going to restart the whole situation later on Shabbos afternoon just to do Hider Mitzvah. That's what Rashi says. He says in the Gemara Hamol, when the girl quotes Tzar that Brisa Hamol b'Shabbos, but the Shagas Arya points out, take a look at the way the Rambam quotes this. And I just excerpted a little bit of the Rambam, the second parak of Mila here. He opened parak Beis Halacha Beis Ketzad Mohalin. If he gets into the beginning of parak Beis, he gets into the details of the various steps of the Mila procedure, the Mila, the Priya, Mitzitza, and so forth. And here Halacha Dalid. He gets up to coin this brisa. Hamol, the mol was working. Kozman shosek b'mila chozer be'altitz ma'akmin. J'ma'akmin, as long as he's still involved, he can even make another incision just to do hider mitzvah to remove a titzrei ma'akiv. But pirish, if he leaves and comes back an hour later, so then he's not going to restart the mila work for mere hider. Al titzrei ma'akmin eno chozer. And then says that was halacha dal. Then what does he say in halacha vav? Osin kol tzarchei mila b'Shabbos. Halacha vav, for the first time, he mentions that mila b'zmana is docha Shabbos, and begins to talk about the details of our Mishnah. That if you have a mila, if the baby was born on Shabbos, the next Shabbos is the Shmini, you do the mila and the priya and chozer al tzitz namach v'alfa pishapirish al tzitz she'emach v'kozman shelo pirish. So the Shagazari says, number one, he repeated himself. What's that all about? And now he's repeating himself, but he said it out of order. Rambam is an incredible stickler for organization. What's the significance of halacha dalet if he hasn't even told you yet that you can do a meal on Shabbos? How do you make sense of that?
So you're saying that you can't do a heder mitzvah
out of context. So the Shaka Zari points out, and the Beis HaLevi picks up on this, that apparently the Rambam did not agree with the way Rashi reads this Gemara. It's true, the Mishnah is talking about Osin called Sarchim Milo B'Shabbos. The big letter is at the top of the page. If you're looking at Gemara, it'll be at the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel Aleph. The Mishnah is talking about Milo B'Shabbos. As I said before, this parak talks about Milo B'Shabbos and Milo in general. So when the Gemara quoted, what's that line of Osin called Sarchim Milo about? Oh, it's telling you about Tzitzin She'en Ma'akvin. It calls man Toshlo Piresh, but we quoted a Brisa. Let's see how the Tanur Rabbanan Hamal, etc. The Rambam understood that, unlike Rashi, that the Brisa is not talking about Shabbos. The Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, but the Brisa is talking about even during the week. In other words, the Rambam is of the opinion that it's not just that on Shabbos you can't go back and restart the activity just for Hidr because it's not it's Chil Shabbos. Hidr mitzvah is not Docher Shabbos, only the Mila itself. More than that, the Rambam understood there's another din, that's true, but there's another din here. And that other din is even during the week, you can't just restart things just for Hidr mitzvah. The Hidr mitzvah has to be connected to the Ikar mitzvah. You're doing the Ikar mitzvah of Mila to do a better job. But once you're done, Pirish, you don't come back to restart. That's the position of the Rambam. That there is no significance, and this is a fundamental point, there is no significance, according to the Rambam, to Hidr mitzvah disconnected from the Ikar mitzvah. Hidr mitzvah doesn't just exist in a vacuum. When you're doing a mitzvah, so do the mitzvah in the best way you do the mitzvah, and you can even add to it by doing it in a more optimal way.
Why would you say that? I understand that the Rambam's philosophy about Hidr mitzvah, but maybe there's a different reason why Mila, you can't go back, that you can go back on Chanukah.
Good.
Maybe Mila is a injure the baby more than you need. So you're doing it's a problem because you're actually injuring the
good
for no reason. Good. Just for hinder. You're lighting extra candles. It's not a.
So you could have said that the Rambam is saying something unique about Mila, and in the other direction, what do you do with the tour? Really, Rashi, who disagrees. Right? Rashi and the tour say during the week you always go back. You come back, the mole comes back an hour later, mole comes back the next day, and he notices there's a small tag, it's Sitcha'in Ma'akin. It just, removing that would just hider mitzvah, according to Rashi and the tour, you can reopen the meal activity just to do the hider mitzvah. So why is that? So the Beis HaLevi says, he thinks everyone holds. Basically, everyone holds there's no hidden mitzvah independent of the Ikar mitzvah. And he says Mila is different because it's a mitzvah nemshachas. Because you can, to the extent that the mitzvah is to be mahol, so that goes on forever. But the Brisker Rav thing, anyway, so you could have argued, they both agree that the hidden mitzvah is always only in conjunction with the Ikar mitzvah, as the Beis HaLevi does. Or to the other extreme, you could have said, as Eric is saying, that maybe the Rambam sheet is unique to Mila because of the Chavala issue. But the Brisker Rav, actually, interestingly, he mentions Beis HaLevi, he does not mention that he's disagreeing with his grandfather Beis HaLevi at this point. He thinks, unlike his grandfather, on the one extreme, and unlike Eric on the other extreme, Brisker Rav thinks there's actually a fundamental machlokas Rambam versus Rashi in the Tur here, which does Hidr mitzvah exist independently of the Ikar mitzvah or not? We don't fully have time for this, but there's a lot to see in the Gemara. So you can feel free to hold on to this, but I tried to underline some of the lines. When the Gemara Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis talks about this, the Gemara says, well, who's the Tana who would hold that Pirish Ein Ochoz? Who's the Tana who would hold, don't go back for the Hidr once you step away? So the Gemara goes through a series of different brises looking for a Tana who would say that. So the Brisker points that the first few brises were talking about other cases of mitzvahs which are Docher Shabbos. But the last one has nothing to do with being Dorcha Shabbos. The last one is Lacham Hapanim has to be Tamid. So how do you remove Lacham Hapanim on Shabbos put on the new? So it's actually a Machlokas HaTanah. We're familiar with the sheet of the Tanakama that the Gemara quotes here, deep on Kuflan Gilman Beis, that once you slide off one set and immediately slide on the other set. There's not a moment where Shulchan is empty of Lechem Hapanim. But the Tanakh Yosef says, no, put it, take off the first one, and sometime that day, put on the second one. That's also called Tamid. You could have a little break, a brief break doesn't create a discontinuity. So that sounds, Briscoe points out, that's probably the source for the Rambam. It's a more fundamental question of, how do you define continuity? So the Briskarov thinks that's the machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam. Does hiddur mitzvah exist independent of the ikar mitzvah? Does hiddur mitzvah only exist as a part of the mitzvah? And he goes on to point out the Ramah in Yordaya in Hilchas Mila paskins like the Rashi and the Tur, which means that he believes that hiddur mitzvah exists independent of the ikar mitzvah. And he thinks they, Ramah and the Ramah, are arguing the Shitasam in Hilchas Chanukah. Ideally, you would love to say each person lights on his own, as Ramah does. But that only makes sense if hiddur mitzvah, we're all yotzim ikar adin with one hadlaka, and then I'll do my own maisa that's a hiddur. Does that make sense? For the Ramah, yes. For the Rambam, not. And I would leave you, there's more to say about the Sagiba, I want to be sensitive to time and to the next minion. So I would leave you with the following. We mentioned from the outset, the point of departure, and so much of learning in Hilchas Chanukah is this Braisa, which is focused on Hiddur. And Hiddur is particularly bolate in the world of Chanukah. Number one, it's unique that you have two madregas of Hiddur. And number two, the Biskarov points out, usually the rule the Gemara has in Bava Kamma is usually Hiddur ad Shlish. You only have to add an extra third to your cost of the Ikar Mitzvah in doing Hiddur. Whereas obviously by Ner Chanukah, it's always at least double, if not way more. Number three is, unlike the Rambam, the Torah Shulchan don't even, if you look back, they don't even mention Ikar Adin. It's all Hiddur. It's just the assumption is that standard, Mahadr Minahadr is mamish the standard. It may be, the reason for it may be, many Achronim talk about the fact that the Neshemen, we could have gotten away without the Neshemen. It could have lived too much Ritzibur and so on and so forth. And there was the whole Neshemen enabled us to be ambitious. The whole Neshemen enabled us to be Mekayim the Mitzvah in the ideal way. And the truth is, it's the whole, in many ways, the Nes Chanukah in particular, more than the other Yom Tovim, are a yontif of Jews trying and Jews yearning and Jews starting. And the Baal Itai Messiah also is very much the story of the Nes of Chanukah. We started, as Mesillas Yesharim talks about at the end of the second parak. If we start, we did the first part. It's often the case in our own spiritual lives as well, he points out, that we don't have the koach. The Yetzirah is so powerful. How do we succeed against the Yetzirah? We need Siyata Deshmaya, but we need to take the first step. If we take the first step, we begin to live life thoughtfully with Zahiras. We take the first step, Habala Tayer, the Sayinosa. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will kick in. And that may speak to the interplay of the Neis HaMulchama and the Neis HaShemen, and that perhaps is reflected in the fact that Hiddur Mitzvah, dreaming big, Alama Nigara mentality, is very, very central to the Neis of Chanukah, and it's something that Chanukah can expand us beyond these 8 days as well. Yashar Koach.
Thank you.
If you have more questions, I'm glad to stick around after Merv.